33.
Spill, Molly said eagerly. Oh, for God's sake, stop, Barbara said to her.
Carol will tell us whatever she wants or doesn't want.
I don't want, Caro said. Molly clapped both her hands dramatically over her mouth. Between her fingers, she said, Women say that only when it's serious, or could be serious.
Molly, Barbara said, shut up.
Caro, ignore her.
I am, Caro said, smiling at both her good friends. The reports from Dr. Silverstein were encouraging. Ellen was improving much faster than expected. George was busy with the publication of his book and his deeply satisfying sessions with Rose. And Trevor. Trevor was a miracle.
Well, Molly said, you look happy.
I am, Caro repeated and hugged them both.
Doctor, Rosita said, appearing from nowhere. Dr. Watkins has developed a fever. Fever meant infection. Postoperative intracranial infection was serious. A subdural empyema, cerebral abscess, or infected bone flap would mean another surgery. Another operation, or meningitis, or a dozen other infections could kill Watkins. Post-op patients were always vulnerable. Relief swept through Caro when further workup established that at least the infection didn't involve the brain. The old man had a urinary tract infection, possibly from his catheter. That was still serious. Anything was serious in an elderly patient with stage 4 cancer, even before you added in the immune-weakening steroids necessary to control post-op brain swelling. Caro prescribed broad-spectrum antibiotics and hoped the infection wouldn't go septic. Her great-uncle looked small and pitiful in his ICU bed. Julian said to her privately, Is he dying? She said gently, He was already dying. I know what you mean, Julian, but I can't give you the answer you want. Medicine isn't yes, no. It's up to his body now, and he's a fighter. Watkins held on, not dying, but not improving much. Fretting constantly that his multiverse session was being postponed. Caro let Trevor deal with that. He was better at it. Twice a day, Caro phoned Dr. Silverstein at Linden Cliffs to increasingly favorable reports about Ellen. Aiden, Sophie, and Nurse Destiny Tattersall all recovered quickly from surgery and had their sessions. Caro did not attend. She spent her time in brain mapping analysis with Barbara, in trying to reach Kayla, and in sex with Trevor. Activities 1 and 3 went well. All that Kayla would say to her was, When is mom coming here? Over and over. Caro had no answer. All she could do was try to keep Kayla's resentment from growing. Caro's door connected to Kayla's, and although Caro and Trevor made love each night, it was always in his room, and afterwards, Caro returned to her own room in case Kayla needed her in the early morning. So far, this had not happened. Then, on a morning so fresh and vivid that it seemed the world had been created just moments ago, Caro took her coffee to her favorite picnic bench in the Wing 1 courtyard, shaded and partly secluded by palm trees. The soft air smelled of loamy earth, newly cut grass, and a gentle salt breeze. Caro breathed deeply and opened an email on her phone.
Sissy, Dr. Silver Beer Mug says I can leave here next week. Can you come get me? I'm sorry, I was like that, like Dad. I want what you promised. Ellen.
Before Caro could process this, James hurried toward her across the grass.
Doctor! I've been looking all over for you. Julian wants you right away in the security office. The FBI is here.
Weigert hurried from the hospital, where he'd been sitting with Sam, to the security office. Julian and Aiden stood there with two strangers. Julian said formally, Dr. Weigert,
This is FBI Special Agents Hannah Kaplow and Greg Logan. They have some questions for all of us.
And for Dr. Watkins, Agent Kaplow said. She was almost as tall as Julian, with the strong features that Weigert thought of as handsome. Agent Logan looked insubstantial beside her, but he had watchful eyes that made Weigert nervous. Although, what was there to watch or to be nervous about? Nothing. Julian said,
Dr. Watkins is very ill. He had brain surgery recently and has developed an infection. You can observe him from outside the ICU, but I doubt his doctors will let you question him.
That would be Drs. Lyle Luskin and Caroline Soames Watkins, Agent Kaplow said.
How did she know that? Was the compound under FBI surveillance? How? Why?
Julian said, yes, Drs. Luskin and Soames Watkins.
She's in the compound now. He will be here shortly to attend Dr. Watkins.
What is this about?
I didn't think the FBI had jurisdiction in the Caymans.
Agent Kaplow said, only if American citizens are directly involved.
Involved in what?
Julian's tone was just as pleasant as Agent Kaplow's, but Weigert could feel the air in the room tighten. Behind Julian, surveillance screens showed various views of the compound gates, inside and out. A seagull flew close to one screen, a flurry of white wings, strayed too far from the sea. Agent Kaplow said,
we'd just like to ask you and your staff some questions, Mr. Day.
Certainly. This way, please.
The five of them filed into the conference room behind the surveillance office and sat down. Julian did not offer coffee, even though a full pot sat on the cluttered sideboard, along with baseball caps, empty soda cans, and the latest offering from James's kitchen, ginger cookies. Their spicy fragrance wafted through the room. Agent Kaplow said,
we've been told that you're doing scientific research here, under Dr. Samuel Watkins's direction. Is that correct?
It is, Julian said. We're properly registered with the Caymans government.
Yes, we know. You're doing brain mapping, which involves inserting lead wires into human brains, wires that can pinpoint what occurs at different brain locations.
Yes, as I'm sure you already know. Various scientists have done extensive research into this area, using both animal and human subjects. We're extending that research. Our subjects are all volunteers, and I can furnish you with complete sets of legal contracts for each volunteer, including me.
That won't be necessary, Agent Kaplow said.
Agent Logan looked curiously at Julian's head, but the tiny connector boxes on both him and Aiden were hidden by thick hair. Weigert, whose hair was thinning, had taken to wearing a jaunty Irish fishing cap over his connector box. Should he remove the cap? Only, he decided, if he was told to. He was not a freak to be stared at.
Julian said,
I'd still like to know what you...
Agent Kaplow interrupted him. Can you tell us more about the nature of your research?
Julian's eyes got a sudden gleam.
Certainly. Dr. Weigert is the guiding force behind our entire experimental design. George, would you like to explain what we're doing here in more detail? From the beginning?
Solid ground, Weigert began. Everything we do here starts with the concept of reality. You see, quantum physics has proven for well over 100 years the basic principles of quantum interaction, starting with the series of experiments that demonstrated, beyond a doubt, the probabilistic nature of subatomic particles. John Wheeler.
6 minutes later, he had arrived only as far as quantum entanglement. Agent Logan squinted and frowned, looking lost. Agent Kaplow's tone lost some of its pleasantness.
Thank you, Dr. Weigert. But I don't think we need the theoretical underpinnings. Is it true that these wires you insert into people's heads?
Oh, I don't insert the wires. I'm a theoretical physicist, not an MD.
Yes, I understand that, Agent Kaplow said.
and we want to talk to your chief surgeon. Mr. Day, please have her brought here. Dr. Weigert, the end result of your theory is that people with these wires are hooked to a computer, and their brain functions recorded while information is fed into their brains. Is that roughly correct?
Very roughly. You see,
and this information causes them to have particularly vivid and detailed hallucinations, which they remember afterward, and which deep image reconstruction software records. Is that correct?
Not hallucinations, Weigert said indignantly,
at the same moment that Julian said quickly.
That is essentially correct. The hallucinations are experienced as real, and the resulting brain mapping data are invaluable in decoding how the brain processes memory and imagination.
Weigert frowned. Rose was not a hallucination. But if Julian wanted the FBI to think so, then Weigert had best let Julian talk to them. All would be clarified when Weigert published.
I see, Agent Kaplow said,
although Weigert doubted that she did.
The door opened and Caroline entered, carrying a coffee cup. Julian, you sent for me?
Yes, sit down, Caro.
Julian made the introductions. Caroline sat, looking wary. Agent Kaplow asked her a lot of medical questions about the surgeries she performed, her training specifically with surgical implants, and her reasons for coming to and remaining on Grand Cayman. Weigert felt, rather than saw, Julian stiffen slightly. But Caroline answered everything in a cool, professional voice. The surgery is similar to direct brain stimulation, an established technique of inserting permanent wire leads into the brains of tremor patients, usually, although not exclusively, those with Parkinson's disease. I have an interest and background in brain mapping, which I'm sure the FBI already knows. You probably know, too, that I filed an unsuccessful sexual harassment complaint against Dr. Paul Becker, head of neurosurgery at Fairleigh Memorial Hospital, and that led to a concerted cyber attack on me via Facebook, Twitter, and other social media. I came to work with Dr. Watkins because Fairleigh Memorial no longer provided a viable workplace for me, also because of my interest in brain mapping, and because Samuel Watkins is my great uncle and a Nobel laureate that any young surgeon would be honored to work with. Agent Kaplow looked unsurprised to hear any of this. Julian smiled faintly. Agent Logan spoke for the first time.
Did you implant experimental wires into a former employee here, Benjamin Hunter Clarby?
Julian's smile vanished. Yes, Caroline said. I did.
When was that surgery performed?
Caroline looked at Julian, who supplied the date.
Was the surgery successful? No complications?
Not during the first 16 hours post-op. Sometime after that, Ben Clarby left the compound.
Against medical advice?
It would have been against medical advice, if I'd had the chance to give any. My understanding is that he left suddenly, in the middle of the night.
Do you know why Clarby did that, Dr. Soames Watkins? Please, let me remind you that although you're not under oath, under Title 18, Section 1001 of the United States Code, it is a federal crime to knowingly make false or fraudulent statements to the FBI.
Caroline's chin lifted. I have no idea why Ben Clarby left.
Have you heard from him since? With, for instance, medical questions?
No.
Have either you, Dr. Weigert, or you, Mr. Day, had any communication with Clarby in any form since he left?
No, Weigert said.
But he stole some data.
Should he have said that?
But it was the truth.
Julian said,
That's correct. Clarby copied proprietary scientific data. None of us knows why or what he did with it. Do you? If not, I'd like to know why you're questioning legitimate scientific research. It's not the research we're questioning, Mr. Day. And if you access the internet news feeds, as I'm sure you do regularly,
You'll learn as soon as it goes public why we're talking to you and why we want to talk to Dr. Watkins. Last night, Ben Clarby was found murdered in his mother's New York apartment.
Weigert felt sick in his stomach. He hadn't liked Clarby, but murder? Who? Why?
I don't understand, he said to Aiden, the only one left in the security office.
Julian and Caroline had gone to conduct the agents to Watkins, futile though that would be.
Aiden, bent over his phone, apparently didn't even hear Weigert.
I found it, Aiden said. Very brief article, just that his mother came home from shopping and found he'd been shot in her guest room in Brooklyn. She called the cops, no real information. Graduate of Stanford.
But why the FBI? Murder is usually a state crime, not federal. Weigert hadn't thought of that. He'd never had reason to learn about the American jurisprudence system.
He recoiled from the images that flooded his mind. The mother, the guest room, young Clarby. Shot where? In the head? In the heart? Had there been much blood?
Before Aiden could tell him, Weigert left the security office.
Rose. Steady, my darling. The project is about science, not criminal activity. We're not some cheap TV show.
It will remain science, no matter what else happens. Yes, it would. But if the FBI somehow shut down the research, could they do that? Would they? Evidently, Caroline had the same thought. 15 minutes later, she knocked on the door of Weigert's room.
George, can I talk to you?
Come in, Caroline. How is Sam?
Serious, but improving. Did the FBI tell you or Julian anything else before I arrived?
Nothing important. Did Sam say anything to the agents?
He was asleep.
They didn't seem to really need him anyway, except, I guess, to see that he exists.
The agents are still talking to Julian and Aiden.
George, what is this about? Please tell me whatever you know that I don't about Ben Clarby.
Weigert sat on his desk chair. It was rude to not offer the chair to Caroline, but he felt shaky, and she was 31 years old and Weigert was not. How could someone so young and slight look so formidable?
He said, I don't know anything that you don't know already. Does Julian know more than that?
Weigert hesitated. An image came to him. Julian, Aiden, and Ivan, conferring by the computers in the session room, cutting off their conversation the moment Weigert appeared. Caroline's eyes sharpened. Weigert answered her as honestly as he could.
I don't know. Once I would have said that Julian, Sam, and I share all knowledge about this project. Now I'm not so sure. Although I have no substantiated reason to believe that. But I don't. It isn't.
She found the words for him. You don't like the ambiguity.
Yes. I mean, no. Caroline, I've heard that sometimes young people, hackers, they steal data just to show that they can, to show off to their friends. Do you think that's what Clarby did?
She gave him her affectionate smile. I don't know for sure, but I'm afraid not. Hackers don't get murdered for showing off. She was silent a long time before adding,
My sister will be here before too long. I want her implanted as soon as possible, in case the FBI does somehow shut us down.
I understand,
Weigert said,
because it was all he could offer her.
I'll make sure she receives her implant as soon as the physicians at her facility release her to you. Doctors control everything.
Not this doctor, Caroline said.